Please take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John. We continue the study of this precious book, John chapter 1. We're going to begin reading with verse 23 down through verse 34. So John chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 23. John 1, 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elijah, neither the prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latch I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing by water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he was sent, that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and read these beautiful words. I thank you for your precious book that we have, and we live in a free country that we can carry our Bibles and have our Bibles and read our Bibles. We can come into this building freely and openly and proclaim your truth. We ask, dear Father, that remain, that stay. There are many in this land that do not want to hear the Word of God. They do not desire to see anything of it or any part of it. And Father, we know that if the enemy wins, that we'll lose the right to come freely. We'll also lose all the blessings of this great land that you have allowed us to have. And so please, dear Lord, that we stand as believers and we speak clearly and with power and with force your precious word, that folks will be saved. They'll come to the cross of Calvary and they'll begin that wonderful walk, a walk that you will supply every need, every part of. And so please, dear Lord, guide and lead us today now as we look to this word and we see John the Baptist coming onto the scene here and making some tremendous announcements. And so please, just prepare our hearts for the study today. Show us your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We begin, as we always do, with just a slight bit of review. And we were looking at this 23rd verse, and John says, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. This is a quote that John is making from Isaiah 40, verse 3. And that was his purpose. I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. As we find that no one there was prepared for him, nor are they prepared for the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, the Savior, to come. He is coming to announce that. John reminds them that they should have known all about his coming, the Lord's coming, and the forerunner's coming, John's coming. They were told of his coming, and we find that they were not aware of it. John says and tells these folks today that what the prophet Isaiah has said is being fulfilled today, because I am that voice, that one that is crying in the wilderness. And so he is making his message clear for all to hear and all to understand. If the prophets they didn't listen to, if they had studied their Old Testament, and he's talking to the Jews here, they should have known that when John came on the scene and the words that he was using, that he was this last prophet to come. He says to the folks, and understand, and we need to understand what his mission was, and that is to make ready the people. His purpose was not to save the people. That's the Lord Jesus' purpose and his plan. But it was to prepare them for the coming, and many were saved because of the preaching of John. But his purpose, his mission, was to make ready those that dwell in the wilderness of darkness. And you see, we need to understand, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about that God is light, and without our God, there is no light in this world. And this world has followed the leadership of their God, which is Satan, and darkness continues to be so present here. And unless the gospel is preached, the light is brought forward, no one will be saved. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary that all will be saved, and yet we need to trust in that free gift of salvation. Israel has made some decisions here, and they were not good decisions. Many people make those same decisions. Israel decided to be a very legalistic, and they all of their services and everything that they do are all set upon tradition and a legalistic attitude and way. And when we speak of the wilderness and why was John in the wilderness preaching here, it does symbolize the spiritual condition of Israel. And they are barren. They're literally dead. Now, isn't it so sad that the nation of Israel is God's chosen people, and they were brought forward for one purpose, and that is to bring God to the world. That was their whole purpose in being, was to be preachers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Messiah is coming. Instead of that, Israel not only failed so desperately in bringing out the gospel and telling people, they made it their own little club. And you had to meet this rule and this law, and you need to do this, this, and this. And the coming of the Messiah and the coming of this forerunner, John the Baptist, were both left out of this. They were trying to be saved by their own means. And we know that that doesn't work. God refuses to recognize any self-righteous formal religion. And that's what the Jews had become. And so when John the Baptist came on the scene to proclaim the coming of the Messiah, no one recognized him. And today, when we take out the gospel and we tell folks that they need to be saved, they need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, many folks reject that. They have no need of it. And many of these folks are very religious folks. Very religious folks. But they're religiously lost because they're trusting in their own means instead of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to walk each day. Now we find in verse 24 here, John proclaims who sent these folks. And John, you see, had not reported in. And when you come onto the scene here and he began to preach and to baptize, well, he didn't, so to speak, go get his permits. He needed to get the proper paperwork so that the Jews would approve of what he's doing, of which they would not have. But today we have the same thing. You have to have your credentials from some given denomination in order for you to preach the word and to baptize and to administer the Lord's Supper. Otherwise, you are not qualified in any way to do that. And if you would go from church to church throughout this town and other towns, they would not allow me to preach in their church because I do not have the proper credentials. I do not have not been schooled by their schools. And the problem is that when you're schooled by their schools, then they have brainwashed you into preaching their doctrines and not the Word of God. And so you need to understand that as in John's day, so is today, that we have so many religious leaders that desire that we conform to their beliefs. Well, that meant a spiritual death for Israel and for the Jews. They desired, these Pharisees had sent them out to see who John was. They had already confirmed by John's confession in earlier verses of the same chapter that he was not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophets. So if you're none of the three, you can't baptize. That's what the Pharisees are saying. If you would be the Christ, then yes, you would have the authority to do that. Or if you had been that prophet, which again they don't realize is Christ. You see how little they really understand of the Word of God. Or if you'd be Elijah, why then yes, you could baptize then. But if you're none of those three, then by what authority are you doing this baptizing? Who gives you the authority to do that? Again, we see the same today. They demand by authority. They do not look to the Word of God and to sit down and enjoy the Word of God. It's all man's rules that have brought this into being. And we find John's answer here in verse 26, and John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latch I am not worthy to unloose. John says, I come and I baptize with water. I baptize with water. But there is one that's coming after me that you don't know. Now, when he's saying you don't know, it's because of his physical appearance. He had not really come onto the scene yet that anyone really knew him of who he was. And so he says, you know, you don't know him. I'm not baptizing by my own power and authority, but because I have been commissioned by the one that's coming. I have been called by God himself to proclaim his word that the Messiah is here. That's who has called me to preach. That's who's called me to baptize. John tells them, the one who was preferred before me, because he was before me, he is the one that has called me to do this. And when John tells us, whom ye know not, again, he just hasn't seen him. And please understand, the only term that they have spoken concerning the Messiah and the Lord Jesus to this point is that he's the carpenter's son. He's the carpenter's son. He is not of the line of Levi, so he has no business in the purpose, the coming of the Messiah. And so you see, they're not looking for the Lamb of God. They are not looking for the Lamb of God. And we see that here as we read the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God. They were not looking for such a man. They were looking for a king. They weren't looking for someone to take their sin away. They didn't have a problem with that. They had all their offerings and their sacrifices. They were just looking for someone to take the rule that the Romans rule and their bondage that they had put the nation of Israel under. They were praying that God would send someone to release that bondage. They wanted a leader, a king, and they knew the Word of God said the King of Kings is coming. But you see, the King of Kings cannot come until Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, comes first. And then we know that the Lamb of God returns as King of Kings. That's not two different people. It's one of the same. But the Lamb of God must come first, and then the King of Kings can come. The 28th verse even tells us the place where John was baptizing. Out in the wilderness, we find it to be about 60 miles northeast of Jerusalem. If you look on your map and sit on the other side of the Jordan, and it is on the east side of the Jordan. And so we find him there. A lot of activities have taken place there. We find that that is where the first disciples that followed the Lord Jesus was called and was baptized. And we also know that this is the location where the Lord Jesus was introduced as being and proclaimed publicly the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is the place where that had taken place. So what a place of history. Everybody goes to Jerusalem, and yet look at the mighty things that took place in Bethabara. And this is where John's ministry started, out in the middle of the wilderness. Obvious reason, again, why it was there. Number one, it was God's plan. Number two, there's a lot of water there. And you see, scriptural baptism is always after salvation. When you come by faith to the Lord Jesus and you trust Him as your Lord and Savior, then you'll want to testify of what's taken place in your heart. And so to do that, then, God has chosen to use a baptism. Baptism takes much water. You have to have enough water that you can stand down into the water. And as you stand in the water, that pictures your old self before you were saved. But then, as you're lowered down in the water and come back up out of the water, it pictures you dying with Jesus and raised with the Lord Jesus. What a beautiful picture, a picture that sprinkling cannot do. And today, why we have most churches have abandoned that type of baptism. Many churches have also went to baptizing babies, and it sure doesn't much matter if all you're going to do is sprinkle, because it gives no testimony of what's taken place in your heart. And so it's so important that you see, and John here needed much water, and he had much water because they come in multitudes to hear John preach and then follow in baptism. One thing is sure: they weren't prepared for his coming. And there's another thing that's sure here, and that is that when John has come, he made it very plain that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, is here. I have come to proclaim that, John says. The Old Testament should have been sufficient. They had verse of Scripture after verse of Scripture after verse of Scripture, but it wasn't. So John come before the Messiah was to come onto the scene to proclaim, He is here. All you needed to do is to believe. We have the Paul and John the Beloved, Luke, James. We have many that proclaim the Word of God, teach the Word of God. But John had one single message, and his message was to introduce the Messiah, the one that's coming. That was his calling. That's what he was to do, was to introduce. And John counted that most important in his life, was to introduce others to the Messiah. You think that would be a goal that maybe we should have? The most important thing in our life is that we can introduce others to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. We continue now with verse 29, and it says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Here we find maybe one of the most rich words in all of God's Word, to find that he is, "Behold, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Savior, which taketh away the sin of the world," was announced. Jesus came first as the Lamb of God, as a Savior. The Jews didn't know he was coming. Even the rulers of the Jews didn't know he was coming. John tells them, not only is he coming, he's here. He's here. What an announcement. He's here. Still, they were not aware of his presence, nor really cared. You know, without question, we are living in the age of the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church. This morning on the one of the radio stations, I covered that very section of Scripture, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And John tells us that the Lord Jesus is standing on the outside of the church, knocking on the door. The church has thrown out Jesus. The church has taken the Lord Jesus Christ by all of its programs and all of the doctrines that they have changed, and they have taken Jesus and put him on the outside. You see, Jesus doesn't stay where he's not welcome. Nor will Jesus go through that door without an invitation. How close are you to Jesus? Are you just a door width away? Is that how close you are? Because I promise you, Jesus is right on the other side. Now here he's talking about a church. But when you get on to the rest of the scripture verses of that 20th verse, you'll find that he not only is speaking to the church, he brings it to an individual, because he knows that the Laodicean church is not going to all get saved. If one person would open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, the scripture says. If just one person opens that door. So you see, you may have lived all of your life, and you've decided that I'm good enough. I follow my church's doctrines. My denomination is I'm the third, the fourth, the fifth generation that has attended this denomination. Why would I desire to leave? Well, if they're not preaching the gospel, not telling you that Jesus saves and will take your sin away, you're probably sitting in a Laodicean church, because they are everywhere. The gospel is no longer taught. There's going to be an awful lot of people that when they die, they're going to wake up in hell, and all that's dividing them is one door, because Jesus is knocking. He's knocking on that church door, and he's just pleading that one person in that church will open that door to be saved. Trust in him. Jesus died on the cross so we can live. John the Baptist here in this 29th verse announces the visible revelation of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What an opportunity John had. But you see, the opportunity he has is no different than the opportunity that we have. We have an equal opportunity to take into this lost and dying world, Jesus. Should be the most important thing on our heart and in our life. Jesus was the great, the only sacrifice for sin. A promise that was given back in the Garden of Eden. Back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is where the first gospel is given. A promise that was given and a promise that was kept all through the Old Testament. The Messiah would come. The blood of every lamb that was slain. When you have the tabernacle and you have the great brazen altar out front of that tabernacle. And as they would bring their sacrifices. And as on the Day of Atonement, the high priest of that day would take the blood of one goat. One was allowed, and if you've been here long, you've heard this many times, but it's worthy of repeating. On the Day of Atonement, they would bring two goats, and one goat, they would cast lots. One was allowed to live, one was put to death. The one that was put to death, his blood was taken, and the high priest would go through, past the laver, through the holy place, into the Holy of Holies, on one day of the year, on the Day of Atonement, and would sprinkle seven times this blood upon the altar. And then he would come back and he would take those bloody hands of his after sprinkling that blood, he would lay it upon the head of the goats, and tradition tells us that the handprints of that blood is on that goat's head. And he confesses all the sin of the nation of Israel upon that one goat. And then that goat is led up into the mountains, never to return again. He said it took two goats to show a beautiful picture of what Jesus can do for our soul. The blood takes our sin away. And I mean away, never to return again. Once you trust in Jesus, He forever keeps you. And so you see, every time they would bring, through all the generations, as they would bring their lambs and bullocks and what they would come and bring, and then on that Day of Atonement, these two goats, every time that was brought, it was all pointing to Calvary. The only thing that did was took the sin, covered the sin. It couldn't take it away. And so for all time, up until Calvary, up until the Lord Jesus died on the cross, every one of those sacrifices pointed to one person, and that is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who they pointed to. Problem was, they lost sight of that. They lost sight that when they brought that offering, when they went on the Day of Atonement to witness that, when they saw that high priest go in with that blood, they lost sight of what that meant. And so do church members. We lose sight. We get busy with the day and activities in the church and outside the church. And we lose sight that the Lamb of God has come. And that our purpose is to share the gospel and bring people to the Lord Jesus. And so not only did John here announce who the Lamb of God was, it's right there, but he also tells us why he has come. The Messiah has not come. The Savior has not come to save him from Rome. The Savior has come to save them from sin, to take away the sin of the world. When Jesus died on the cross, He took all the sins away, every one. But there is only one sin that condemns you to hell. There's only one. To murder? Surely it'd be murder. What sin is it that keeps you from heaven? Let's go to John chapter 3, just a couple pages over. John chapter 3, verse 18. We'll back up just a little bit there and start with verse 17. John 3, 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And right back to verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Which sin did it list there? It would be the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. John experienced that same problem with sin when he introduced the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not believe he was the Messiah. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you trusted in him as your personal Savior? Have you asked him to come into your heart and to save you? Because if you have not, you're just like that church full of people and Jesus on the outside knocking. Will you let me come in? But you see, he won't force himself into your life nor anyone else's. He comes only by invitation. Only by invitation. Heart's wicked. Naturally wicked. Born in sin. There's nothing in us that desires good, light, God, nothing. So you see, God calls us. We preach the word. That calls you. That allows the Holy Spirit to come to your heart and invite you. Shows you who you are. You're not going to like that. That's the reason people don't like a church that Jesus is present in. The Holy Spirit is present here. People don't like that because they don't like what they are experiencing, what they feel. I don't like somebody showing me how ugly I am. But then wonderfully and beautifully is his grace, because he saves us. And he takes us then from that place immediately to the place of salvation, where all of our sins are taken from us and we for the first time have strength and power to have victory. For the first time we know Jesus as our Savior. What a glorious day. What a wonderful day that Jesus came into my heart and saved me. A day I'll never forget. Ever forget. I was very religious, very, very active in church ever since I was little. I was president of the youth group of UCC. I was an elder in the Lutheran church, deacon in the Baptist church, now pastor of a Bible church. Either through all that process, God has made me wise to his truth and word, or I'm totally mixed up. I have every reason to be mixed up, except for God's strength and God's guidance and God's direction, because he has brought me to his word, and his word is truth. His word is truth. I could have stayed religious. I chose Jesus instead. I hope that's your choice. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can have this introduction as John the Baptist has presented to us, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. How simple can salvation be, dear Lord? Because if we had to be responsible for confessing every sin that we have ever committed and then confess every sin as we commit them, I know I would forget multitudes of them, ones that I didn't even know that I committed, and let alone the ones that I knew about and forgot. Father, I'd have no hope. You have taken all those sins away, if I'll only by faith come to you. And how simple can that be? You come and you just put your hands out, believe in me. And that day finally come that I did. And I thank and praise you, dear Lord, for your salvation. And I know that that salvation is still offered to all that will come. So please touch every heart today, dear Lord. Stir our hearts. Open our mouths that are saved, that will proclaim this wonderful word. Make it a priority in our life. Please, dear Lord. I want your perfect will today. Dear Father, I want your Spirit to speak to all of our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.